Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. This show is for vitalistic chiropractors that want to take their practice to a new level. Whether that is higher volume, less stress, more congruency, or just want to continually learn and evolve. Every Wednesday, I will be bringing you an interview that will provide you with either mindset or strategies that will help you overcome your underdog curse. Whether you're plateaued, afraid to fail, or stressed out due to overwhelm, this podcast will show you how others have overcome their challenges. Make sure to go to www.drdonmcdonald.com where you can sign up to get notifications when new shows are released and see previous ones you may have missed. I hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to crush the curse. Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and today I am pumped. I have the author of a book that really changed our practice, helped us get some freedom, called Rocket Fuel, and his name is Mark Winters. He is from Texas, and today we're going to dig into his mind and kind of figure out how we can get a little bit of freedom maybe in our practice, because a lot of us chiropractors, you know, we start off wanting to serve everyone, but we don't have a clue on how to surround ourselves with the right team. So Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dr. Don. It's good to be on here with you.
That's awesome. So let's start off, I'd like to hear a little bit about your history, about how did this Rocket Fuel stuff even start in the first place? So maybe tell us a little bit about your background.
So my background, I started off in large corporate, really. So I out of college, I was working for Procter & Gamble and went to business school at the University of Chicago. And then along the way, basically caught the entrepreneurial bug. So jumped off of that track to start my own business and learned all the lessons that you learn early on as an entrepreneur, stubbing your toe and getting the scars and things that go with that. But it really led to a journey of, I think I'm up to 12 different companies that I've either started myself, bought, and then either shut down or sold, done something with. So I've had all kinds of facets of the entrepreneurial journey that I've lived through. And along that path, you know, early on, I was really trying to do things kind of by the seat of my pants, just sort of based on gut instinct. And over time, I learned that there was a much better way to do that. You could use a system to kind of help you make some of that work better. And then likewise, I learned later in life and later in that experience that, hey, there's some of this stuff I'm really good at and I really enjoy. And, it's probably my sweet spot. And then there's other stuff where, frankly, not only am I not good, I may be actually dangerous. And so it's a lot better situation, helps a lot more when you can kind of, you know, get those things paired up and get the right people doing the right stuff. And that tends to be a lot more effective and make everybody a lot happier for how the company and the business works.
That's awesome. So did you come up with the system before the book and started coaching people first, or did you write the book first, or how did that start?
So here's kind of the sequence of it. So I used a system in my business. I didn't know it was an integrator at the time, but what effectively was an integrator in one of my companies, and really one where I had a very successful exit. So it was one that really did what it was supposed to do. Later on, I sort of shifted from being an operator to being more of an advisor. And after I had done that, so I'm coaching people, teaching people, people would ask me to come help them implement a system in their company. And I was really reluctant to do that at first because I remember how painful it was, how hard it was. And so, oh, come on, Mark, just help, just get us started, right? So they kind of coaxed me into doing it. And I went and did it. And what I found was it was actually very enjoyable for me to kind of get them started. And then they had to really do the hard work. They had to go do the stuff. And then, you know, those who would do it, they would have success. And so I felt good about that. So it actually, that was fun for me. In that process, so I was actually already doing some of that. I learned about Traction, the book Traction, and the system EOS that Geno Wickman had invented. He created that. So I cannot take credit for that. That's Geno's system. He took a lot of stuff and kind of packaged it up and put it together in a way that I felt was more comprehensive than what I was doing, and frankly, easier to implement. So I felt like people who approached it that way were going to have more successful. I would have more of them that I worked with getting to the other side, getting the benefits of that success, if you will. So started that. I came back. I started teaching my clients about it that I had been working with. They loved it. They started telling other people, hey, this is great. Look what we're doing. So all of a sudden, all these people are kind of beating a path to my door because they want to implement EOS. And in that early conversation that I was having with Geno, it's kind of like, hey, what if we write a book on this whole visionary integrator thing? And so I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So we began that process, which took a while. I mean, it took us a couple of years to go through all the back and forth and really thinking about how to communicate that message clearly to people like you, right? So to somebody who has they're a visionary and they have, frankly, the attention span of a gnat. How do you get a big concept like that across to them without them, you know, checking out on you? So we finally felt like we had that right. And that's really when the book Rocket Fuel was released to the world.
That's awesome. So let's dive in, because chiropractors out there, like I said on the pre-call, that we all start off and we learn how to be an amazing chiropractor, and we want to serve people and help them adapt to their environment and get bigger. But we don't really understand how the team dynamic works.
Right.
So maybe you could just go in and for those who haven't got the book, you should go get it. But for those who haven't, maybe just go into a little bit what a visionary is, what an integrator is, and then we'll kind of unpeel it.
Great. So here's how I want you to think about it. In any successful entrepreneurial company, you're going to have two different kinds of leaders at the helm of the organization. So one is, we'll call them the visionary, and they're sort of the creative force, right? They're coming up with tons of new ideas all the time. They're seeing into the future. They're seeing where things are going and trying to figure out how to position to take advantage of it. They're great at talking to people externally. So they'll be talking about partnerships and you know, be the face to the community or the marketplace. And so they're good at all that stuff. They're energized by all that stuff. But then when it comes time to take one of these ideas and actually do the dirty work that has to be done to make it real, to make it happen, all of a sudden their wheels kind of come off. And it's not that they can't do it, but it's just really painful and takes a tremendous amount of energy. So that's where the integrator comes in, because they're just as powerful a leader, but they're just gifted with different superpowers, if you will. So they're all about taking an idea like that and actually working the details, pushing the follow through, bringing together all the disparate parts and capabilities that you might need to actually execute on it and make it happen and follow it through and get it done. So in the context of a team, in the context of an organization, they're the ones that kind of get their arms around all the people, all the people who do the financial stuff, to the people who do the service delivery, to the people who do the marketing and sales or whatever. And they pull all that stuff together and they work, you know, harmoniously through and between those people to make it work together and actually make things happen. So that's their gift. And so then they've got to work through this process to kind of stay on the same page with the visionary, understand their vision, translate it into a language that the team can understand. And when we can get that kind of a combination together, it's just extremely powerful. And we see those companies tend to outperform those that don't.
That's awesome. And I think in your book, there's actually a quiz, right? Because people would say, how do I know if I'm an integrator or...
Absolutely right. So we've got a quiz in the book. You can also take that online on the website. And, you know, it's a short number of questions. There's actually two of them. There's one for visionaries and one for integrators. And I encourage everyone to take both, because, you know, you think, or you'll just assume, oh, I'm this or that. Yeah, maybe, you know, you might be surprised if you'll be really honest with yourself that how much you are of one and how much you are of the other. And then, you know, once you're clear on you and kind of how you match up, then you can see somebody else's response to that. And you can start to think about, wow, here's how my results fit with your results. Here's what kind of a combination that we might be. It really gives you a good way to think about getting the right combination together.
That's awesome. And I think you already said some of the challenges a visionary can have if he doesn't have an integrator, because you kind of be spinning your wheels or have great ideas and have anything off the ground. What might an integrator might experience if they don't have a visionary around?
So that's rare. And, you know, it's probably hard for you if you're, you know, a self-admitted visionary, you can't even really get your head around this. But the reality is, you know, integrators, somebody who's a pure integrator and they're kind of low on the visionary spectrum, the odds that they would find themselves sitting in a position where they're running a company without a vision are very low. It probably means that they either inherited it or somehow got kind of thrust into that role due to circumstances around them. They probably didn't go start the business themselves, right? That's more of a visionary thing. The visionary is the one who's going to have that entrepreneurial seizure, and next thing you know, they have to go start a company. Integrator probably isn't going to have that. And so it's kind of hard for me to get my head around too, because I'm pretty high on the visionary spectrum. And so when I talked to a lot of integrators about this, what they told me was, look, if you can set up a situation where I can just kind of be fed ideas and I can kind of filter out the good from the bad, that saves me a lot of hassle. And that saves me from trying to deal with a lot of stuff that, frankly, I don't get that excited about. But once I've got a good idea, now I can sink my teeth into it. I can run and I can go and execute and make it happen. So that's what they want. So it's rare that they'll end up in a situation. It does happen. Mm-hmm. And when it does happen, here's what it means. If you're an integrator at the head of an organization that you really want to grow and you kind of need some visionary energy to take it to that next level, you're probably looking at bringing in a partner. You're probably looking at bringing in somebody who's going to want to have a stake in the outcome, somebody who this is going to be an alternative for them to them starting their own thing. They're not going to come in and just do the work for, you know, some kind of a fixed salary and whatever. They're just not wired like that.
Right. Now, I was watching some of your videos before, and you said that you had one of your posts that said the difference between an implementer and an integrator. Can you expand on that one?
Yeah. So this is, it's a tricky language thing. So in EOS, which I was telling you about before, the system, the entrepreneurial operating system created by Gino Wickmans, we have this wonderful system that we will implement in a business, in a company. So when I say implementer, when we say the word implementer, we're talking about someone who professionally does that for a living. They go and they help people implement that operating system in their company. And they work with a lot of different companies, a lot of different leadership teams to help make that happen. So the integrator, right? So our word for the visionary and the integrator, it sounds unfortunately really close to the other one, but it's completely different, right? So the integrator is there on your team, right? They're there. They're part of the leadership team. They're one of the two primary leaders of the organization. They may own implementation of the operating system, but they may bring in an implementer to help make that happen, right? Or they may assign different parts of it to different parts of the leadership team. So, you know, the words sound a lot alike, but they really mean something completely different.
Yeah. So the integrator isn't actually doing all the little things and implementing it themselves, but they're organizing who's doing that.
Right. So I like to say it doesn't, you know, or I'll ask the question, does it mean they're the doer? And the answer is not necessarily. You know, they might be the doer sometimes, but they're just the one that's responsible for making sure that it happens. And if that means, you know, getting this person and that person and this other person to do some part of it, and then, you know, they just oversee and play project manager, great. That's how we do it.
Okay. That's great. Now, challenge. This is when we get in the coaching part of it.
Okay. This must be about you.
Well, no. Well, it's about a lot of my clients. I coach chiropractors as well, so I have a lot of people in mind. So, okay. If you start off and you either don't have any staff or you have staff that might be the wrong fit, how do you go upon the first stages of finding an integrator?
Okay, so I've got to lay a caveat out here just so that you kind of know, and we'll be able to talk about what you want to. But, you know, generally, my experience is primarily in companies that are kind of between, 10 people and 250 people. Okay. So that's where the lion's share of my experience and the case studies that I'm looking at are coming from. Okay. So I know how this combination works. I know that it works in that zone. Okay. Now, having said that, have I worked with companies a lot bigger than that? You bet. Have I worked with companies a lot smaller than that? You bet. So just recognize that the population that we're talking about here falls just outside the sweet spot. But let's talk about the principles that come into play, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So the first principle is you got to get really clear on understanding yourself, the visionary, and your business, Okay. So in the book, we've got some different things. We actually have a 7-step process that you need to go through to get connected with your integrator counterpart. Okay. The first 4 steps are all about understanding yourself. So you take those assessments, you begin to think about that. You think about your business. You think about what it needs and what your aspirations are for it. You think about where it falls on the spectrum, right? So we talk about a spectrum where, you know, some businesses, you know, they're really stable. So they're in a marketplace that isn't changing. There's not a lot of complexity. They're not growing very fast. They're just not doing a ton of moving parts. In that kind of a business, you don't need a ton of visionary energy. Okay.
Right.
On the other end, you've got businesses that are rapidly changing. The marketplace is moving all over the place. There's tons of innovation. You really want to grow. There's lots of competition, right? All this kind of stuff. So that needs a lot more visionary energy to make it work. So I'll say, you know, on this end, you know, maybe the visionary with the level of sight of a Mr. Magoo would work. And on the other end, you know, we need somebody kind of like a Steve Jobs. So you got to figure out, where's my business? Where is that? You've got to decide if you're really ready, okay? Because if you're going to compare up with an integrator, it means you're going to be letting go of some stuff. It means you're going to have to pay them. You know, there's a lot of things that you have to really check and make sure that you're at that stage and you have the readiness to make it go. And then we want you to spit out what we call a wish list. Mm-hmm. And a wish list it's basically, if you were to sit down with a clean sheet of paper and go, man, if I could just have the right person come in here, I would have them make this go away. I would have them fix that. I would have them just, what are those things that they would just take care of that would just change your world? It would just change your life. And if all this could be true, I would just love it. I would be so happy, right? So that helps you kind of paint the picture of what you want this future to look like with that counterpart. So that's all the first step of it. Okay. So then the next step is, you kind of have to tell the world that you're looking for one. And so there's different ways you can do that. You can send the signal out to your network. You know, you've got a podcast, so that's a great platform. That's really going to help you. But you just kind of send the signal out there and say, hey, I'm looking for an integrator. Here's kind of sort of what they should look like. Here's what that means, in case they don't know. And you start to have people kind of come in and talk to you. We actually find a surprisingly high percentage of people, that's their mechanism. That's their search mechanism. It's just putting the signal out to their network. It gets passed along. And next thing you know, they've got somebody good to talk to. I'll also tell you, there are recruiting firms that are specializing in this. So on our website, we have a resource area, and there are firms that are seeing the value and importance of this role, and they're really starting to dial into that and get really good at it and give it tons of focus. So if you wanted to engage somebody that's a recruiter to help you find good people to talk to, I would encourage you to look at that. But at the end of the day, it's all about matching up what we call the 2-piece puzzle. So this first half of the process, you're understanding yourself. You're getting really clear, getting some candidates to put through the mix, and then you're just looking for who has the best match. Who has the best match? Those assessments are a key part of it for them to take, and you know, you just try to put together the 2-piece puzzle.
That's awesome. And I saw also on there, you talked about fractional integrator. So like if you maybe are not in the position to take one on full time, could you expand on that?
Yeah. So, and that actually may be a great fit for a lot of people in your audience. So the idea is, wow, you know, yeah, I would love to do this. It sounds great. I'd love to have an integrator. I just can't justify it. I can't justify having somebody full time. You know, they're expensive, blah, 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 whatever the reason is. So there is an emerging specialty. It's, you know, fractional integrators. And I want you to think about it. It's kind of the same as having a fractional CFO or somebody that manages the finances, or, you know, you see fractional salespeople, you know, people that will do different parts of it. So somebody comes in as a fractional integrator, they're great at that skill. They're great at that capability. They're a professional integrator, right? And so they come in, and instead of you having to hire them full time, you hire them for one day a week. You hire them for a couple of days a week, and they come in and they bring their expertise and experience and their energy while they're there, to kind of get things unstuck, get them moving along, and then you go and do what you have to do, and then they come back and they do it some more. And it's a great way for you to experience the benefits, experience the upsides of what it could be like in life with an integrator as you're growing, as you're developing, as you're kind of coming down that curve. And sometimes we'll see those relationships expand. So they may start off one day a week, grow to 2 or 3 days a week, and the next thing you know, they're ready to engage full time. Another benefit is it's kind of a way to date somebody. right? Because we're going to end up forming a relationship between these two that it's, I mean, it's almost like a business marriage, right? And I have some people that will refer to their integrator as their work spouse, right? And so you're going to spend a lot of time. You're going to be really, really close. You need to be really well matched. So a fractional integrator approach is a lot of times a way for you to kind of try before you buy or date a little bit before you jump off full-time into a full-time relationship.
That's awesome. That's great. I think that's perfect because then you can get a little taste of it before you have to go all
there you go.
Ball in, right?
Yep.
Let's just talk a little bit about visionaries because I know a lot of chiropractors out there will be visionaries. And you had a couple of posts and a couple of information about when the visionary has to kind of work in the business and take some of the roles. And can you tell some of the warning signs or pitfalls there?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that I'll talk about there. So the first one is it's this concept of wearing multiple hats. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just say that you know the visionary is sitting in the visionary seat, but they're also the practitioner, right? And in your world, they're delivering service. Maybe they're also doing the books or they're doing whatever. So again, as playing on part of a team, you have to be really clear which role am I playing right now. It will help you to remember. Okay, so I'm being the practitioner right now, so I need to be really focused and good at that. But then as you're working with people around you, you can't just be switching identities like that all the time. You really can confuse them and send them mixed messages, and it's just not healthy for the team when you flip back and forth like that. So you kind of need to declare, okay, I'm talking to you now as the visionary. I'm talking to you now as the chiropractor. I'm talking to you now as the bookkeeper or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Communicate that clearly to the rest of the team. Be clear for yourself what you're doing at any given point in time. But the other benefit, Don, as you see of mapping this all out is all of a sudden it becomes visible. Oh my gosh, I'm wearing seven different hats. I'm doing seven different things. You know what? I don't like doing some of these things. And so it lets you kind of have a battle plan or a roadmap for, you know what? I need to get that off my plate. I need to find some way that somebody else takes care of that, or I can delegate some of that because I really like doing this and I really like doing that. And so it just allows you to begin to have a plan for how you can begin to focus more and more and spend as much of your time as possible, really, in your, what Dan Sullivan would call the unique ability.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Cause I know I've done that a few times where you're wearing a little bit too many hats and then it gets you kind of off your game in the area that you're good at.
For sure. Oh, for sure. Cause you're distracted, right?
Yeah. 100%. And so it's nice to be able to do that. So I think that's great. Now, do you have any, examples? Cause I saw on your website, you'd interviewed, a dentist on there or something else where they had maybe a professional. Can you give maybe a couple of case studies? Because this is going to take work. So we always want to make sure the price is worth the promise, right? Yep. So do you have any case studies of what's happened to companies when they've actually implemented these strategies?
Yeah, so there's really, if I was going to really simplify it, I would say there's two benefits. So one is it's the promise of entrepreneurial freedom, right? So everybody that I know that starts their own business, they got into it thinking, oh boy, my life is going to be so much better because I'm going to have more money. I'm going to have more time. I'm going to get to hang out with people I like. Right. I'm going to make a difference, right? They think that.
Yeah.
And then they wake up, 2 years later after they made this leap and they're like, oh, this stinks, right? I'm working my tail off. I've never worked harder. I'm not making anything. I don't feel like I'm making a difference. Some of these people I don't like, all the stuff that they were going for, they didn't get, right? So, so that's kind of the big jump is it helps you get closer to whatever freedom means to you. It helps you make that real. It helps increase your odds and your ability to realize the freedom that the entrepreneurial freedom that you went after in the first place. Right. So that's one. The second thing is it's kind of expanding your fingerprint that you're going to leave on the world. So people have different appetites for that. If you don't have a big appetite for that, then that may not be a big thing for you. But a lot of people that are in professional services, that are, healthcare professionals and otherwise, they do care about that.
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking about growing your practice, opening other offices, doing things like that, then this is clearly in your sweet spot. This is clearly should be on your roadmap because it's going to let you expand your leverage without driving yourself completely insane. And frankly, like we talked before, visionaries are great at coming up with this stuff, not great at executing it. And so you're going to have a lot of great ideas that aren't going to go very far, where if you're paired up with a person who's really great at being that strong integrator, you come up with it and they make it happen and you're amazed. It's like, wow. And now because you're amazed that it happened, you're energized, you come up with more stuff, and then they make that happen. It's just this really virtuous, positive reinforcement cycle that kicks in. And so growth of the whole enterprise is the second big thing that happens that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. And I think I was looking on your website and you had a couple of examples, which is funny because I hadn't noticed that, but a couple of big examples like McDonald's and a couple of the big, huge companies, and you named off their integrators because we've all heard about the visionary, right? Like Ray Kroc, but I didn't know. So could you, I was wondering if you could just name off a few of those ones because that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So McDonald's is one. And let me frame this first with, when we looked at that, when we saw that pattern in those companies, they were small. So it's not that they're doing it today. It's not necessarily how they work today. But in the beginning, when they were still entrepreneurial and they're trying to put all the pieces together and get up that curve of growth of trying to scale a little bit and kind of, expand their footprint and get bigger and make a bigger difference, we found this pattern. So they were like us back then. And so we found it at McDonald's. We found it at Disney. Walt Disney's brother, Roy, he was that guy. We found it at Standard Oil. John D. Rockefeller had a guy that was the integrator. We found it at Honda. So these companies, which now, they're household names. We go back in history and look at when they were doing this entrepreneurial journey early on, and they just sort of instinctively paired up with somebody who could provide this kind of a counterpart for their ultimate vision.
That's pretty incredible when you see that. I really like that when I saw it all lined out in all those places. And I'm like, you always hear about the visionary, but you didn't really know that they had an integrator to help them get their stuff.
They're the unsung hero.
The unsung hero, 100%. Now, what would be some of the pitfalls? Like if someone's going into this idea where they're trying to get an integrator, what are maybe some common mistakes you see or some things to watch out for when you first start to do it?
Good. So one I would say is going too fast. And what I mean by that is you got to have patience. So you won't hire your integrator and day one, just flip a switch and all of a sudden everything's rosy and everything's perfect. I mean, there is definitely a process that you have to go through that you have to have patience for. So when we talk about the overarching process of rocket fuel and what we're trying to do, it's three things. We're trying to crystallize your thinking about the visionary integrator concept so that you really understand what this is or what it could do for you. So then you decide, hey, this is something that can help me or this isn't something that can help me. But you decide. If you decide that we want to help you get connected, so we got a framework for you to do, a language for you to use for how you get paired up with your ultimate counterpart. And then the last part of the puzzle is to maximize that relationship and do what you need to do with structure to really make it powerful and great. Because if you don't do that, the visionary and the integrator are naturally wired very differently, and they're wired to basically butt heads. Okay.
Right.
So if you try to go too fast and you don't execute on the structure, you're going to do a lot of this and ultimately the whole thing can blow up. So we talk about five rules and five tools that, if you will follow these five rules, it will help you take that energy, that friction, and blend it into something that's a really powerful force that ultimately is going to help get you to that next level.
That's awesome. And I was wondering too, if you could, cause you named your website and we'll have it in the show notes, but if you could just maybe what's your website? Just let us know.
So rocketfuelnow.com. If you go there, it's kind of all things rocket fuel. You can get to our resources. You can sign up for, I do a weekly video, just a brief video where I try to kind of speak to some common question we get or something that we want to clarify a bit more. The assessments are on there. And another assessment or form of assessment that I would encourage you to check out there is we call it the Power Index. And so once you're matched up with your integrator, it's just a simple little tool that you can go through and you can both fill out and you can see, are you really leveraging the power of that relationship? So it kind of gives you a snapshot of here's where we are right now. We're doing good in these areas, not so good in these other areas. So you can kind of focus the things you want to specifically work on to make that relationship even more powerful.
That's great. And what kind of resource, what other kind of things do you offer? Do you guys offer coaching or seminars or what else do you guys offer?
Yeah, so there's training. So we have a class called the Integrator Mastery Forum where people can come together to really learn how to be truly great as an integrator. And that's really an important resource because a lot of people are just learning about this. They don't know what that means. So we got to sort of train them up and get them ready. And frankly, a lot of people are probably potentially great integrators. They just don't know that. Right. And so they're sitting there in big corporate or something today, and they'd be a great integrator. And you know, we need them to find out about it so that we can get them prepared, and then they can come help some great visionary go and make this thing happen. So, you know, word is spreading, and we want to train them up, and we need more integrators. The ratio, you may remember from the book, it's 4 to 1. So for every 4 true visionaries that we have out there, we have 1 true integrator. In, wow. in the population. So that's not awareness. That's just in the population, just kind of looking at how people are naturally wired. And then it gets worse because this one integrator wouldn't be a great integrator for all 4 of them. They might be a great integrator for just 1 of them. Okay. So the math gets hard. You know, you want to, if you're looking for an integrator, you should go get them quick. Go find them now. You know, people are going to start competing for these folks and help us find more of them and get them ready.
That's great. Well, I just want to thank you for being on the podcast. I really appreciate the information that you have, and I think chiropractors can sure benefit from that. As we call it, the underdog curse, a lot of times we just don't have these skills. So sometimes we feel like an underdog in our head, and sometimes we actually need to increase our skills. So I think understanding this is super helpful. So in closing, do you have any words of wisdom for underdog nation out there to inspire them to raise the bar?
So, I mean, here's what I would say if I was going to boil it down. The promise of entrepreneurial freedom is real. So yeah. You can go get it. You're great at something. So, mm-hmm. So figure out what that thing is that you're great at and really focus the lion's share of your energy there and surround yourself with folks that are great at that other stuff. So if you're a great visionary, you know, bring in that great integrator and go make it happen. Go make that entrepreneurial dream a reality. We need you to do that. The world needs you to do that. You know, entrepreneurs ultimately are going to make the difference. And, you know, so we're just here to try to help make that happen.
That's great. Well, thanks very much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it, Mark.
Thank you, Dr. Don. It was great to talk to you.
So everybody out there, there's like tons of information. You might want to listen to this podcast several times and take lots of notes because all these little pieces will help get your dreams of having a great practice. So get out there and crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.